talk about the unpardonable sin. The unpardonable sin. The sin that will not be pardoned. And we're going to go into some scripture. But right now we're going to pray just before we're seated. Holy Ghost, your will be done in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody shout amen. Bible study night, so get your Bibles out. You may be seated. We're going to go through some lengthy reading here at the launching point. Let me tell you the main reason that we are even going to endeavor to speak upon the subject that we're talking about tonight. The main reason is to let people know that they have not committed an unpardonable sin. So many people have their ears wide open when you say unpardonable, or you've done something that God will not forgive you. And then the devil makes their mind go to reeling about everything horrible or horrific that they have done, and it makes them feel that they have committed that sin. And so I would venture to say, knowing you as your pastor, there is not one individual in this house that has committed the unpardonable sin. But number one, I want to keep you from it. And number two, I want you to be able to help somebody else if they feel like they have. You don't know like I know when it comes to dealing, and I can count them on one hand and still have fingers left over. But there have been individuals in my ministry that I have tried to help and tried my best to convince that they have not blasphemed God. But because the enemy had put it deep in their minds. Now, if there's anything that's unforgivable, we know who that is. But I'm telling you, we need to let people know that it is a drastic, drastic measure that you take, and it is a deep, deep step to a place of unforgivableness with God. But I want to teach it tonight. Not a delectable subject, but one that needs to be taught nonetheless if you're going to teach the whole Word of God. Amen. And so let's look at Matthew chapter number 12, verse 22 through 37. Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil. He was blind, dumb, and he healed him insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. Wow. And Jesus knew their thoughts, and he said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he's divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? He's trying to explain to them, Satan doesn't cast out Satan. I do. And if I, by Beelzebub, cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore, they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house? He that is not with me is against me. Read that with me. He that is not with me is against me. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy, listen to this, shall be forgiven unto men. All manner of sin, even certain types of blasphemy, shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. I'm giving you a Bible now, and I'm coming at you strong. How many of you have noticed the last several Tuesday nights we've been going a little bit deep? Is that okay? It's time to go deep. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, this is what Jesus said. How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by the words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Wow. Pretty powerful, huh? Now let's look at Luke chapter 12, verse 10 through 12. Amen. Whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, what it's talking about here, you can get as mad as you want to toward Jesus in the flesh. Whatever. I don't recommend using his name in vain. I don't recommend just throwing his name out like hit your finger with a hammer. Oh, Jesus! You're not praying. You're mad. Don't use his name when you're mad. And you young ladies, and even some of you young men, or anyone else, we got to stop with this. Oh, my God! Oh, my God! Did you see that? Oh, my God! Don't do that. That's silliness, and it don't even make sense. Amen. If you want to call on God, do it in prayer. Not because you dropped something, or because you just saw a handsome hunk somewhere, or whatever. Do you hear me? Amen. Let's be very careful about the words we use, because he's hearing this. Amen. And a lot of the things that we use his name for, amen, we can go all day long without praying and say, oh my God, about 50 times and not even mean that for prayer. Is that fair to God? Amen. Now, I'm just giving you stuff to work on. I'm not saying you just blasphemed against God because you said OMG. Amen. But let's just continue to say OMG. Maybe we can say, oh my goodness. Oh, my gracious. Okay. And so what we've got to comprehend is we're the carriers of the torch of apostolic revival. And we cannot do that loosely. We can't do that haphazardly. Amen. And so I want us to understand that we're the apostolics, we're the end time generation, and we are this church that the Lord has set up to cause revival in the last days. We've got to take that seriously. And so we've got to take the word of God seriously and what the Lord is saying here. Amen. It shall be forgiven him, but unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. Amen. We can be forgiven of a lot of things. Amen. We can be forgiven for saying goofy things about Jesus in the flesh, getting mad at him and being immature, you know, and all of this and getting upset at him and all of it. But we cannot blaspheme against his spirit, and that is the Holy Ghost. When they bring you into the synagogues and into magistrates and powers, take you no thought how or what you shall answer or what you shall say, because the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say. The Holy Ghost is our guide. We have no business lashing out at it. Amen. The Holy Ghost. How many of you agree with me tonight that the Holy Ghost is smart? Now, will you go the extra mile and say the Holy Ghost is smarter than we are? My hand is up first. And why would we accuse and why would we rail and blaspheme against the Spirit that created the universe and little old you and little tiny me in the process? Amen. There's a lot of things that the Lord has let us know in the Word of God He can take. But this He will not take. Now, that being said, how many of you agree with me that He has a right to draw a line? Absolutely. Praise God. God's remedy for sin was provided, of course, through His incarnation and then subsequently His death on the cross. His blood cleanses us from all sin. Forgiveness of sin is available to everybody. And this is what I want to make very clear. His forgiveness of sin is available for the vilest, I don't know how else to say it, the nastiest, the ugliest sinner that could possibly be alive. God's forgiveness is available to that individual. Somebody say amen. Amen. I've got a plethora of scripture. When we repent of our sins and get baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our sins are remitted or they are washed away. Regardless of the church brand, every individual that wants to be a Christian has got to repent of their sins and be baptized in Jesus' name for the remission of those sins. Amen. And anybody, whosoever the Lord shall call, has access to these great deeds of God. Salvation from sin is God's greatest provision for lost mankind. We all need His mercy. We all need His grace in order to escape eternal damnation. Am I correct on that? Amen. Now, our study is wrapped around and revolves around a sin that cannot be forgiven. Nevertheless, it's important for you to understand the far-reaching scope of God's mercy and God's grace. I don't want 50 people leaving this building tonight with no hope and feeling like you have blasphemed God. That would be a trick of the enemy. But I want you to comprehend and understand what it truly is. Amen. And so it is. It's a ploy of the devil to make you think that you have. Another ploy of the devil is to make people think that they have blasphemed God way back in their lives before they ever came to the truth and before they ever came to the church. And let me tell you this. You can't blaspheme God before you come to the truth. You can't blaspheme God before you get into church. Because you can't blaspheme God without the knowledge of the fact that you're blaspheming God. That's one of the chief reasons why there's no mercy and there's no forgiveness. Because when a person reaches to the point that they will blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, they have reached a point that they don't want any mercy and they don't want forgiveness. Amen. All right, so Webster defines the word blaspheme as speaking of sacred things in terms of irreverence. We don't want to ever be irreverent to the Holy Ghost. To revile or speak reproachfully, I mean directly at the Holy Ghost, not by accident. You don't accidentally blaspheme God. Amen. To define blasphemy as profane or a mocking speech, a writing or actions concerning God or anything regarding as sacred from the Spirit of God. Contempt for God. Amen. Maliciousness and abusive toward God. Amen. Knowing what blasphemy is becomes obvious from all these definitions. Now it's vital for us to know what is the one thing we're to refrain from blaspheming against. Blasphemy against the Holy Ghost is the only unpardonable sin. Therefore, it is incumbent upon all of us both to define and understand the Holy Ghost. Since so many false concepts and false teachings exist relative to the Holy Ghost, we've got to go to the Bible for guidance. Amen. And so we've got to correlate some facts about the Scripture and get them in line. And that's why you're here on Tuesday night, because you're very, very serious about the Word of God. Amen. Amen. So the Holy Ghost, or the Spirit of God, is the Father of Jesus, according to Matthew 1, 18 through 20. We understand that it was a process from the Holy Ghost. And Jesus Christ baptizes men with the Holy Ghost, His Spirit. Amen. And we've got that in Acts 1 and 5, as well as many other scriptures. Baptized with the Holy Ghost is synonymous with also being, and I've got scripture for it, and maybe we can continue to study privately in our own homes or wherever from the Word of God, but I really want to get this concluded tonight. But we can also say we're baptized with the Holy Ghost, and we can also say we're filled with the Holy Ghost, or we have the gift of the Holy Ghost, or we have received the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Ghost has come upon us in Acts chapter 1, poured out upon us, Acts chapter 2. The Holy Ghost fell on us in Acts chapter 8, and the Holy Ghost is being shed upon us, Romans 5 and 5. If the Bible says in 1 John 5 and 7, let's find that. Amen. 1 John 5 and 7, three bear record in heaven. Three bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost, and then the Bible says these three are one. The Holy Ghost is a teacher, according to the Word of God, and our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. So we're the temple. The Holy Ghost has come into us, and it leads us, guides us, teaches us. Amen. It's sent from heaven to men. We can be partakers of the Holy Ghost, according to Hebrews 6 and 4. It's given unto us, Acts 2:38, of course. The Holy Ghost makes men overseers of the flock. The Holy Ghost creates leadership. The Holy Ghost creates Sunday school teachers. Out of people that come in from the world, all walks of life, all manner of men, women, and young people, and yet become great blessings for the kingdom of God. Why? Simply because of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The church began on the day of Pentecost, with those present being filled with what? The Holy Ghost. This was evidenced by their speaking with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Acts 2, 1 through 4. Amen. We understand this as apostolics. We know this because it's happened to probably each and every one of us here tonight. It is conclusive from the Scripture that the Holy Ghost is the Holy Spirit, that God is a Spirit. There is one Spirit, Ephesians 4 and 4. The Lord is that Spirit, of course, 2 Corinthians. We are baptized into the body, which is the church, by the Spirit of God. So the Holy Ghost is the Comforter and the Spirit of truth. So the reason I believe with all of my heart that the Lord would set up such a line of demarcation is because if you ain't got the Holy Ghost, you ain't got much. And we are to honor it, respect it, appreciate it, stand for it, and believe in it, even when you don't live it. We are to be respectful of the Spirit of Almighty God. Amen. Because the Creator of the universe has now come into an empty vessel. We are now the tabernacle or the house of God. Amen. And the Holy Ghost has come into that. And we are to give it all of the respect that is due to the Spirit of God. I cannot express that hard enough. I can't validate that strong enough. Amen. Amen. Don't let people tell you you don't have to have the Holy Ghost. There's nothing without the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Everything was void. Everything was dark. Everything was nothing until the Holy Ghost came upon it and began to create. And I was nothing until the Holy Ghost began to create. And the church is nothing until the Holy Ghost falls in that church and begins to create. Amen. So we understand these things. We come to the knowledge of these things. We understand our bodies are that temple. Amen. And we acknowledge these things. Praise God. I don't know any other way to put it, that just erroneously teach that there are three distinct, three separate, three co-eternal, coexistent, co-equal persons in the Godhead. Let me tell you something. There ain't one person in the universe that can create what God did in the Spirit. My Holy Ghost is not a person. It became flesh and blood simply for the sole reason being the only one worthy to be able to die for the sins of mankind. Amen. I have lived almost twice as long as Jesus did on this earth. He had one mission and one mission alone, and that was to create a saving force for mankind. To live, die, resurrect, and fall on us on the day of Pentecost. Amen. God's word teaches us that there is only one God with the fullness of the Godhead dwelling in his body, bodily in Jesus Christ, Colossians 2 and 9. God, who is spirit, is without measure, fully and entirely tabernacled in the man, Christ Jesus. Amen. Consequently, blasphemy against the Holy Ghost is blasphemy against the one true living God himself. Through the providence of God, he has provided means by which we can have his Spirit. He has opened a door that I can have that Spirit. What right have I got to be negative toward that? The Holy Ghost within us. Therefore, we can be full of the Holy Ghost, and many great things can occur. Not through the power of men, but through the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So, extreme caution must be exercised by everybody, lest we speak against the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let me tell you what blasphemy against the Holy Ghost is not. And this will help you more than most everything I'm going to say here tonight. Amen. Speaking against Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, this refers to the man Christ Jesus, the flesh of God, the flesh of the Spirit, not the Father, which indwelled in him. Speaking against Christ refers to his humanity, not his divinity. That is not blasphemy. I'm not advocating that you speak against Jesus Christ. Blasphemy that does not involve the Holy Ghost. Blasphemy can be against others and other things while not directed against God himself. This is one of the blasphemies in the Word of God that we read in your hearing, that God said, I will forgive. We can blaspheme Jesus. We can blaspheme the church. We can blaspheme people. We can blaspheme one another. And we can be forgiven. Rejecting a call to salvation by the Spirit. The Spirit calls you. You reject it. Amen. I want to take the moment, and I'm sorry, but I want to rebuke every preacher that would ever preach just because someone turned the Lord down this service does not mean they are blaspheming God. He gave us that privilege. He gave us the chance, and he gave us choices. That person can come back 6 years later and the same sermon be preached again and an altar call be given, and that person can come and receive the Holy Ghost. We've got to be careful as pastors, preachers, and even soul winners. We've got to be careful about how we treat people. Amen. And how we threaten them and how we want to use scare tactics to get them there this time and make it happen right now. Amen. We've just got to be very careful about that. Because if we're not careful, we can step off the edge and go beyond truth. Amen. And so failing spiritually, living in error, or as we often term it, backsliding. These things can be forgiven and one can be restored. I will say they are not always restored because they don't always want restoration. But a backslider can come back home. Amen. I hope that's clear to you in a generation that's even hard to teach some churches that you can backslide. Rejecting a call to salvation by the Spirit. Amen. That's not blasphemy. Persecuting Christians, that's not blasphemy. Paul did that. Did Paul not do that? He had them incarcerated. He held jackets while they stoned one of the Lord's apostles to death. And yet here comes Paul now, after being converted into the truth, and writes over half the New Testament. That, my friend, is a forgiving God. That's a grace-filled God. Amen. Joining a church that doesn't preach the truth, that's not blasphemy. You can still come to Landmark. Returning to false doctrine, once you've been delivered the truth, and then going back to false doctrine is backsliding, going back to false doctrine, but it is not blasphemy. You can be forgiven for that. There's a lot of scenarios that we can discuss here tonight and may develop in people's lives with whom maybe even some of us are acquainted with. And that's why we can help them with this. Before making a harsh judgment against them, that they blasphemed against the Holy Ghost, exercise caution. Remember that this stuff is not unpardonable, that God can forgive it. We've got to define what the sin actually is and be absolutely positive that it's been committed before we render a decision. Carelessly declaring to a person that they have committed this particular sin is unwise. God is the final judge of this transgression. You and I have got to seek to lead men to repentance, not eternal damnation. We've got to seek to lead them unless we have undisputable evidence. What blasphemy against the Holy Ghost is, now I've told you what it's not. Let me tell you what it is. Amen. Let's get Matthew 12, 31 and 32. Matthew 12, 31 and 32. Speaking against the Holy Ghost is blasphemy. Amen. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. Whosoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him, the flesh. But whosoever speaketh against the Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither the world to come. Amen. You've got to do this, and you've got to do this on purpose. Before you blaspheme against God, it's in your mind that I'm getting ready to blaspheme against God, and I don't care what he thinks about it. I don't think anybody in their right mind would want to do that. I can't think of a soul in my ministry that ever has, but it happens. I know it happened in the Word of God, and the man fell, and the worms devoured his body that instant. We don't mess with God, not like that. A sin of the tongue. Blasphemy is a sin of the tongue. One would have to exercise the option of speaking against the Spirit before the sin would be committed. Amen. Remember how that the power of life and death, the Bible says in James chapter 3, that it is in the tongue. Thinking, wondering, asking questions, seeking direction, that's not within the arena of blasphemy. Amen. Amen. Words must be spoken against or in opposition or contradiction against the Holy Ghost. Railing on Him. Purposely railing on the Holy Ghost. That's blasphemy. Amen. And then forgiveness for this sin can never be obtained in this world, where Jesus said the world to come. When making this statement, Jesus wasn't saying that other sins can be forgiven in the world to come. He didn't mean that. Please understand that. Sins will not be forgiven after you leave this world. If they're not forgiven here, they're not going to be forgiven. So if we don't make a place in heaven on this side, there won't be a place for us in heaven on the other side. Amen. He was showing the finality and the irreversibility of blasphemy. No place in time nor eternity will afford a chance of forgiveness for this sin. Pardonable, forgivable sins must be dealt with in this life only. There's no place of repentance. I say that because, believe it or not, and you may not even know this, but there are certain beliefs, there are certain churches that preach that you can be baptized for people that died, and then they are plucked out of purgatory and sent right on to the kingdom of God. And it doesn't get much more shallow than that in the Word of God. Amen. It is a sin. Blasphemy is a sin to those that are enlightened. In other words, those that have the knowledge of the Holy Ghost. I'm convinced those who have received the Holy Ghost are the primary, you're the primary candidates for blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. It could be possible for a person who has never received the Holy Ghost, but they had to have a high depth of knowledge and understanding of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And of the Word. In other words, to make their blasphemy work. Anyone who has ever heard of these scriptures, whether versed in truth or not, would do well to refrain from speaking against the Holy Ghost. Everyone we can warn should be warned concerning this danger. Those ignorant of the working and acts of the Spirit, as Paul, who would speak against the Holy Ghost, spoke against Jesus, spoke about everything about the church, and literally blasphemed it, was forgiven because he was ignorant as to what he was doing. I believe with all my heart that Paul literally thought he was doing God a favor by destroying Christians, because his feeling was, who does this man think he is? Without knowing the truth, he didn't realize that the Spirit of God was revealed and wore a face when Jesus was born. And then attributing the power of the Holy Ghost to the power of Satan. That's blasphemy. In the context of Jesus' teaching, those who saw him healing a devil-possessed person accused him of doing this by the devil himself. The prince of the devils. Jesus was casting out devils by the Spirit of God. And so he warned them not to speak against the Holy Ghost like that. Don't do that. Spiritual gifts are often exhibited before men, especially in the areas of tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy, and all of that. God's Spirit manifests itself in physical demonstrations. Amen. We leap for joy. We run the aisles. We dance in the Spirit. Amen. But don't get so mad against God until you blaspheme against what the Spirit wants to do. Amen. Praise God. Don't speak against God. Amen. But most importantly, do not speak against His Spirit. Somebody say amen. Both the Old Testament sounds, Old and the New Testament sounds forth clear warnings to those familiar with the work of God. God's word opens to us several uncomely and serious acts that we can be involved in that are relative to the Spirit, which are displeasing to God. There's a lot of things that are displeasing to God, ladies and gentlemen, we can find mercy over if we're serious about forgiveness. Now, he knows it when he's being used or played. But he also knows when we're serious about mercy and when we're serious about grace. And he's very serious about giving that to us. While these are the negative aspects of our conduct, we should remember that God is pleased when we express and we choose the opposite. In other words, rather than being displeasing to him, wanting to satisfy him. Amen. Now, let me give you some warnings that should serve as a... in other words, we wouldn't want to treat this Spirit of God this way. Abstaining from these unacceptable practices, that will place us in a position of reverence. That's where I want us to go. That's where I want us to live, so that we can teach others to get to that place, because we don't ever want anybody to blaspheme the Holy Ghost. Amen. These things we are not to do toward the Spirit of God. Amen. We are not to vex the Spirit. We are not to vex the Spirit. Vexed, according to Webster's Dictionary, is to cause something to be annoyed, to cause something to be troubled, agitated, disquieted, afflicted, despised, contested or disgusting, brought up against again and again and again. That's vexing the Spirit. Be careful. You're getting on the edge right there. And then Acts 7:51 talks about resisting the Spirit. Resist comes let's look at resist according to Webster's Dictionary. To stand against, to withstand, to oppose, to fend off, to withstand the action of. Amen. Let's do our best not to resist the Spirit. I know there are days that people don't feel like worshiping God. I know there are days you don't feel like clapping your hands. But how about the sacrifice of praise? It's not a sacrifice when it feels good. It's not a sacrifice when you've got all that money and you give a little bit of it. Amen. It's a sacrifice when you ain't got a little bit and you give a lot. Amen. And so bring the sacrifice of praise every now and then. Clap your hands whether you feel like it or not. Say amen when you feel like it or not. Stand to your feet and give God glory whether you feel like it. It don't make you any more spiritual when you do things opposite of what everybody else is doing. I've seen people sit there when everybody stood up because they just didn't feel it right now. And then they stand up and want to do their thing when everybody else is sitting down. You just want to be seen. Listen, let's just flow with the Holy Ghost and worship whether we feel like it or not. Praise Him whether we want to praise Him or not. Amen. Praise God. You say, well, Pastor, you tell us to praise God, and then we praise God, but I don't feel like it's good. It don't matter how we feel. Amen. That's what's wrong with this religious generation now. They want a feel-good religion. I'm going to worship God whether I feel good or not. I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to magnify. That's all I've got. I'm not good enough. Listen, hey, we don't qualify for anything except the Word of God said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. That's the only thing I qualify for. Why should I withhold that from God just because I got a headache or just because I've had a bad day or somebody said something about me or whatever it is? Listen, let's get way, way, way above all of that, because we don't want to ever fall down into the danger zone where we resist the Spirit of God. What comes after that? Amen. And then another danger zone in 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Is to quench the Spirit. Quench defined by Webster is to extinguish, to put it out, to still it, to repress it. We don't want to ever do that to the Holy Ghost. And then we don't want to grieve the Spirit. We don't want to do anything that's just next door to blasphemy. Because we don't want to even, Brother Billy, we don't want to get close to that. Amen. Praise God. So we don't want to grieve the Spirit. Ephesians 4 and verse 30. Grieving means to give pain of mind to afflict, to cause to feel grief. Amen. I don't want God to feel grief around me. I don't want to grieve the Spirit. Amen. Another translation for grieving the Spirit is to offend or to distress or to hurt or to cause sorrow. Wow. Amen. And don't despise the Spirit. Hebrews 10 and 29. I think a better word would be despite. Amen. That's a spite. That's a North Carolina word for you. Amen. Oh, how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Amen. We don't want to come close to these things. Amen. Amen. Those who arrive at the juncture of doing spite or despite to the Spirit have joined the ranks of those who have blasphemed the Holy Ghost. They're declared to be worthy of much sorrow. Much sorrow. Worse, severe, heavier punishment than those such as were under Moses' law. Amen. So, those who blaspheme against the Holy Ghost are beyond the reach of the mercy of God. Bottom line. These are not and cannot be drawn by the Spirit back to the Lord. Let me give you a final scripture. John chapter 6, verse 44. No words can describe the state or the condition of a man who, though yet alive, has committed a sin unto, the Bible said, unto death. He said, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. At the point of blasphemy, the Spirit doesn't draw you anymore. And when it doesn't draw you, you can't get to Jesus. Because no man comes to the Lord except the Spirit draws them. Amen. So, we are to remedy this before it happens, because none of us ever want to come to the point of the unpardonable sin, and we don't want anyone else. Amen. Vexing the Spirit, resisting, quenching, grieving, despising the work of the Spirit, all that is the foyer to the area for blasphemy to come in. These should be removed. You cannot blaspheme without wanting to. It's by your words. Remember, we read in Matthew how that we will be judged by our words. Be careful what you say, especially to the Holy Ghost. Amen. From Genesis 1 and 2, when the Spirit moved upon the face of the waters, until Revelation 22 and verse 17, when the Spirit issues its last call to come, we read about the Holy Ghost. Nothing equates the power and the miraculous working of the Spirit. Amen. And just like I said as service was, I am still absolutely awed by the Holy Ghost. It still blows my mind. I still don't comprehend it, and I can't get its full capacity, how it works and how it flows and how we can orchestrate things like we want to and try to get others to orchestrate the stuff that we want to do it the way we want to do it. And when they don't, we want to get mad at them. Hey, God is not limited to your little thoughts. Amen. And everybody's going to do things a little bit different. Let God be God. Just let God be God. Let God be God. And stand in the reverence of all of that. And appreciate all of that. Respect all of that. Let your passion be seen in all of that. Ladies and gentlemen, we will draw men to the Lord. Amen. And so, the Holy Ghost is a gift. And we treat it as a gift. We've tasted His heavenly gift. We've tasted the powers of the world to come. So we can't fall away. Amen. Let me ask you a couple of questions and I'll be done. Has anyone ever been confused in your living for God? That's not blasphemy. Has anyone missed the will of God ever? That's not blasphemy. Has anyone ever followed the flesh and not the Spirit in a decision? Not blasphemy. Have you ever heard a voice or felt a direction and called it the devil, only to find out later that might have been the voice of God? That's not blasphemy. Speaking against the Holy Ghost with no thought about it, knowing what you're doing, no feelings about it, just doing it because you want to do it. Speaking against the Holy Ghost, ladies and gentlemen, that is blasphemy. And so get as far away from speaking against it, and let's fill our plate full of praising it, worshiping it, loving it, respecting it, honoring it. Amen. Let's stack it so high there will be absolutely no room to ever be against it. Let's stand together. And while we stand, let's lift our hands and praise the Lord. I want to praise God tonight for truth, that it is not so far away from us that we'll never stand a chance of finding it, but it's right here in this sanctuary. Let's praise God for truth. Let's praise God for His Word. Let's praise God for His availability. Praise Him that He would even open His mouth and share these things with us, that He would impart to us the Word of God, that, like David said, Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee, O Lord. Amen. Could we reach out to Him and have faith in Him right now? Amen. Hallelujah. When you're reaching out, you're reaching for. When you're reaching out, you're grabbing. When you're reaching out, you're launching. And you're believing the Lord and trusting God to do great things, great exploits, wonderful, mighty, powerful, holy, and righteous things. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Just to put it simple, I don't want to come nowhere close to that blasphemy stuff. I don't want to come anywhere close to aggravating you, grieving you, hurting you, lashing out at you. I want to worship you. I want to praise you. I want to honor you. I want to exalt you. And Lord, lead me to those that are confused about this blasphemy thing. The devil's put in their mind that they could never live for God, and that they could never find repentance, and that they could never find mercy. Lord, you lead me to them, and I'll let them know that there's no way they could have been worse than me, and God forgave me. God gave me grace. God gave me mercy. If He could give me mercy, He can give anybody mercy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Beautiful. Beautiful. Wonderful. Amen. God richly bless you tonight as you're dismissed. Shake hands. Be friendly.